You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Andy Larson, Salt City Hoops Managing Editor and Jazz Beat Writer for KSL. How are you doing today, Andy?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I mean, I could use for sunshine. That'd be nice to say you right now. But apparently that's not allowed with the inversion and upcoming weather and clouds. It's apparently not happening.
Yeah, it's going to be an ugly winter. You can feel it.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not a snow person, so winter weather is not something that goes well with me, but I always cheer for like a snowstorm every week just because it clears out the air and we can have a couple sunny days each week as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not in the cards. Either way, let's talk some Utah Jazz, which is the whole reason to talk to you, the weather. I've been running Torn by Sports for coming up on 6 years here soon, and I've had a couple hot topics hit the site where I've had to deal with fans or people who run different organizations. But I don't think it hit any level of scale that you probably had to, or you witnessed with one of your writers at Salt City Hoops, Ben Dowsett, versus a few of the Warriors players. What was that like from your perspective earlier this week?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a lot worse for Ben than it was for me. It was just kind of interesting to see how everything unfolded. I mean, it was one of those things where, like, yeah, I knew he was getting a lot of attack from Warriors fans after the game, you know, that night, Monday night. But then to see, you know, the MVP of the league, Steph Curry, and then Draymond Green and Andrew Bogut kind of all go in on Ben too. It was, you know, that's about as much attention as one writer or media figure can ever get. And, you know, you see guys like Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless get that sort of pushback from athletes. But not very often at all. I can't remember another instance of like someone going after a, you know, kind of relatively unknown guy who, you know, works hard in his own craft, but is, you know, I don't know that blogger is an inaccurate term for Ben. So it was a little bit interesting. You know, I got a couple of media calls. Warriors PR called me, talked to Jazz PR, CSN Bay Area, front, you know, a lot of Bay Area radio stations were calling both me and Ben and trying to kind of get that side of the story. But yeah, I mean, for, you know, at least 24 hours there, it was wild.
Yeah, no, sounds like it. Well, I mean, you know, what was interesting to me from my perspective as a, you know, I won't hide from the fact that Torn by Sports is a, blog. I think we're a higher level blog than some out there, but a blog nonetheless. And to see people attacking, you know, what kind of quality bloggers put out there was, for me, the part where I was like, well, come on. I mean, that's a little bit much, but is what it is. Imagine things have now calmed down.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, funnily enough, I've been, like, keeping tabs on Ben's mentions just to, you know, make sure that hopefully that it's going down a little bit. And now it's like one Warrior fan per hour is now tweeting him something awful rather than one every 30 seconds. So it's died down a little bit, but still somehow there's a lot of hatred, a lot of anger in the Warriors fan base still directed at Ben, which is, I mean, it's both sad and a little bit funny.
Yeah, no, I mean, it helps to be able to laugh at these kind of situations.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they're reacting in such a way is kind of funny. I mean, you're the NBA champs, who cares? But, all right, well, let's put that behind us. I'm sure you guys would like to. The other big news that has happened on a Jazz front has been the injury to Rudy Gobert. You know, the last report I saw has him out indefinitely with the MCL injury. You know, I know you were at practice today. What are you hearing? Is there any timetable at all for Rudy's return? And what do you think the Jazz do without him?
Yeah, I mean, so they're looking at about a couple months. You know, this type of MCL sprain, the grade 2 MCL sprain, you know, it's a relatively common injury. It's a very well documented injury. It's an injury that gets, you know, a lot of blood flow through that ligament, which allows it to heal on its own rather than requiring surgery like an ACL tear. So, you know, the good news is there's a really well-documented history of NBA players coming back to 100% after suffering this injury after between 4 and 8 weeks and missing anywhere between 15 and 30 games. And kind of where Rudy falls on that timetable, the Jazz as an organization are going to be very conservative about it. Obviously, they don't want to push him back too soon and risk further injury or kind of those accumulated injuries that can happen when an athlete is favoring one leg over another. They'll want to be very cautious about how Rudy Gobert returns. And quite frankly, Rudy's just a big guy too. So I think that may kind of slow down the return. So I'm looking kind of at the tail end of that window, probably about 2 months, maybe, you know, 6 to 7 weeks there for until Rudy returns. That being said, they're being, you know, very cautious to not give an exact time frame so that, you know, Jazz fans aren't excited or disappointed really whenever Rudy does return.
Yeah, having some Bulls fan in my history, having a player not come back when expected is something very disappointing.
And I think the league learned a lot.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think the Jazz learned a lot from the Derrick Rose situation, and I think that's why we've seen all these injuries have been kind of indefinite timetables rather than giving a definite out for season or out for, you know, 6 to 9 months, whatever the case might be, because, you know, it was a lot of pressure on Derrick Rose to return, and I think a lot of unfair pressure and you know, created a multi-month story of where he was with regards to this injury. You know, the Jazz kind of did the same thing with Dante Exum and just said he's out indefinitely. You know, he's been told privately that he's out for the season, but as far as a public announcement, no real announcement's been made there. And so, that kind of almost creates more speculation on the other end of, you know, when is Dante going to return? It's kind of interesting to see what the two different ways to handle this are.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, last night was the first game without Gobert against the Magic. I mean, obviously a loss for the Jazz. What do you think the Jazz are going to do to be able to hold serve, I guess, throughout this 6 to 7 week period that they're going to be without Rudy?
We're going to see a lot more of the small lineups. I mean, last night they played lineups with one big man played about 23 and a half minutes of that game. So, you know, that's nearly all 24, or half of the 48, I should say. So you look at how the Jazz are going to be playing kind of the four-out system that Quinn Snyder's used a lot in his previous systems. You look at how he coached at Missouri, how he coached in Austin with the Toros, the Spurs D-League franchise, and even kind of how he coached an offense as an assistant coach with the Atlanta Hawks. Again, a team that likes to play out on the perimeter and get three-point shots. We saw that a lot last night against the Magic. I think they ended up taking 34 or 33 three-point shots. They'll definitely want to space the floor and kind of use that to their advantage and then have Derek Favors setting screens, getting open down low, that sort of thing. You know, I think that's really how the Jazz will change during the next 2 months, and it'll be interesting to see how much of that kind of sticks around when Rudy Gobert does come back. Maybe they keep Rudy and Favors together on the floor for starting lineups, but then kind of have the flexibility to go four wing, and three wing and four wing lineups with or without a point guard. And, you know, if they need to come back in a game or need to start taking a lot of threes, need to take advantage of what the defense gives them, maybe they'll, you know, have the experience in having used these small lineups with a lot of spacing on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, it could really diversify the lineups that they play even more so. I mean, it's interesting, as we were watching the game last night, my wife actually asked me when Mountain America was going to end their sponsorship of the three-point shot for Jazz games because of how many they were making last night and clearly what might be coming in the future. Well, I mean, one of the big men, I mean, if they're playing one big man a lot, you're looking at a lot of Favors, like you mentioned, a lot of Booker. How much does this potentially scream to Lyles getting on the floor a little bit more and potentially developing a little bit more in-game?
Yeah, I think a lot. And, you know, it's funny. We talked to Quinn today about where Trey Lyles kind of fits in this small versus big dichotomy, and he kind of sees him as a connector between the two, that he's really capable of playing kind of both inside and out, taking those threes as well as kind of maybe posting up a little bit. We saw him post up once or twice last night. Whether or not he develops in these next 2 months is going to be really important. You know, if he is a capable piece that can play 20 minutes a night, then you all of a sudden look at a lot more flexibility in what kind of lineups the Jazz can put out there and what kind of matchups they can really stick with. Otherwise, they kind of have to play either Joe Ingles at the four, which doesn't really work defensively for a lot of reasons, or, you know, you have to maybe just play two bigs out there with Favors and Withy, or Booker and Withy, or Booker and Favors, Booker and Withy, whatever the combination might be. So, I mean, Trey Lyles is a big piece of what happens. The Jazz have been kind of encouraged with how he's played over the last 2 weeks compared to the first 2 weeks of the season when he was, you know, legitimately awful. I don't know that Trey Lyles has progressed to good yet. He's still, you know, not a good NBA player, but they're clearly happy with that he has made steps in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll continue to see that. I know Jazz fans would love to see such a high draft pick pan out like other draft picks have in the past. But, I mean, missing 6 to 7 weeks in this season could be a big deal for a team that was looking to battle for, you know, those lower rungs of the playoffs. Do you think this could put the Jazz out of the playoffs, or what do you think happens in that realm of things?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, and I think so much of that also depends on what other teams do as well. You know, if Houston can figure it out and put something together, you know, maybe the Pelicans might be a little bit too far out at this point. But as they get Tyreek and Drew Holiday back in the lineup, kind of how they start to coalesce and maybe play a little bit better. You know, you look at how the West has played so far, and ultimately I think the Jazz can play well enough for the next 20 to 30 games without Rudy Gobert that they can probably win, you know, probably fight for around 500 in that stretch with how many home games they have on the schedule. But if the other teams in the West start doing a lot better, you could see that mean that they, you know, get pushed down to the 10th and 10th, 11th seed or so, and, you know, then have a fight back into the playoffs with a 2 months or so left to go in the season. So, again, like I said, so much depends on those other teams. I think that it's a real possibility that this injury really hurts the Jazz with how thin they are on the bench, especially at the big positions. But ultimately, I don't know that it doesn't necessarily disqualify them from the playoffs. Let's put it that way. I think they do have a real chance of staying alive through this stretch, and then playing the last 2 months of the season and getting that kind of 7 and 8 seed that we all kind of expected the Jazz to fight for at the beginning of the season anyway. What this does do, though, is kind of limits their ability to get maybe a 5 or 6 seed, which, you know, would have been really nice for the Jazz, maybe even gives you a chance to make it to the second round.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I'm more of on the downside of what the Jazz will do, but we won't get into that because I don't need any Jazz fan hate as it is right now. So, you know, to end the interview, I'd like to hit with some, you know, couple questions that, you know, a couple of them are just for fun and other ones I'm actually really interested in. But the first one, which player is your favorite player to interview on the Jazz?
This will surprise a lot of people, but I think it's Trey Burke. Trey Burke gives, like, legitimately interesting interviews, gives legitimately interesting answers to questions, will kind of reveal the X's and O's of the game a lot more than most of the players will. You know, you ask, say, Gordon Hayward the same question as Trey Burke, and Hayward will say something pretty generic of, you know, well, we need to execute better, or we need to fight harder, or whatever the case might be. Trey Burke says, you know, well, we need to do a better job of blitzing the pick and roll, so that way when players come off the pick and roll, they don't have the space to operate or something like that. You know, it's just kind of a next level answer, something closer to what a coach would give than the typical athlete cliches. So despite, I think there's a lot of perception out there that me and Trey Burke are not best of friends, but he's still my favorite interview on the team.
Now, you're not just trying to make up for your joke this last summer, are you?
I'm really not. No, and I mean, I talked to Trey today, and you know, I think we've both kind of moved past that. He's just super professional, but yeah, it's super interesting.
Cool. All right. Next question. Who is the NBA writer that we all should be reading, but we aren't?
Ooh, that we aren't. Seth Partnow does some really, really good stuff. I mean, obviously, the best sports writer in the entire world is Zach Lowe, but I think everyone's reading him at this point. Seth Partnow for Nylon Calculus and then the Washington Post Fantasy Stats blog, and I think he publishes stuff for a couple other places too, really does some interesting work. I love Brian Phillips. I don't know where he's going to be writing after the Grantland closure, but I love his writing so much. I wish, like, I don't know, he would write a book or something so I could just read that. I mean, I just love his stuff. Check that out on runofplay.com, even if you haven't read his old stuff, because it's fun. Who else? There are so many names. Maybe this just because he just moved to Salt Lake, but Zach Harper's stuff is really good on CBSSports.com, and I love his podcast. I know you asked for one, but now I'm just rambling on with all these guys that I like. I mean, I think it's kind of an underrated piece of being a basketball writer is I do so much more reading than I do writing, because that's honestly how I get so much of my stuff is I really learn a lot about the league from all these different writers.
I 100% agree with you. Now, we haven't done it yet this year, but I know in the last couple years, there's always been a couple times where the bloggers in the area get together and we play some basketball. I'm wondering who you think is the best baller of them all.
None of us are very good. Tony Jones likes to brag about how good he is, but I think it's fairly limited, and he's not a blogger anyway. I mean, he did play college basketball allegedly, but he doesn't play any defense. That's the Tony Jones problem. Who's the best blogger? Jimbo's not bad. Jimbo Redding is actually not bad at basketball. Matt Sanchez, again, not a blogger, but runs the Jazz's digital content team, is pretty good at basketball. Who else is decent? Am I forgetting someone? I mean, you've been at some of these games.
No, I've totally been at some of these games. I was going to say, I don't think Clayton's too bad.
Yeah, no, that's Clayton, right. Dan is.
He can score. I think you're listed. I haven't played with Matt Sanchez yet, so I'm intrigued. We need to start setting up. Usually we play a couple times in the holiday season as different guys get into town. We need to start making that happen maybe a little bit more often. All right, final question for you. This is the Torn by Sports lunch break. So where's your favorite spot for lunch?
Where's my favorite, what's that, spot for lunch?
Spot to go for lunch, yep.
Probably, okay, I got two. So I'm working at the KFL offices downtown. So one, the Pizza Studio in Salt Lake. If you haven't been to Pizza Studio, it's like Cafe Rio for pizza. You just get whatever toppings you want on this pizza that they cook for you instantly. It's amazing. And number two is probably Chunga's on like 9th West and North Temple-ish. Really, really, really good Mexican food.
Okay, I work really close to the Chunga's. I'm going to have to try that.
Have you not tried Chunga's yet?
I have not. I work on North Temple near Redwood, so I'm pretty close.
Yes, like I almost want to be that person who shows you Chunga's. Like now that I have your number, I'm just going to call you and be like, hey, we're going to Chunga's. Do you want to come? Because I just want to be associated with the good feelings that you'll have after you eat Chunga's. Like, that's, it's going to be a life-changing moment for you.
Well, let's make it happen, Andy. I'm available, cool. So we'll make it happen. Maybe we'll do a live together show from Chunga's then. That would be fun.
I would be in, for sure.
All right, deal. All right, well, Andy, I appreciate you coming on and giving us some insight into the Jazz and having a little fun near the end about blogger basketball. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Grant.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.